What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and accomplished musician. He has written and performed songs that have appeared in 3 motion pictures and is currently performing live at the most sought-after venues around the country. Please put your hands together and welcome rock guitarist and composer, Terry Quinn. How's it going, Terry?
Oh, it's going great, but thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Oh, man, the honor is mine, man. I mean, as soon as I heard your tracks and the work that you've done, I definitely wanted to holler at you, man. So thank you.
I appreciate it.
Now, Terry, you've been in the business a long time, and I consider you guys as the veterans of the game. Please share with me your musical journey of how when you started in the music business and, you know, where you're at now.
Well, I guess, you know, I want to say you're really born kind of into it. I always wanted to play. And when I was 10, my dad gave me a guitar, and I started playing. And by 14, my after-school job was playing in the band, you know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing the whole way through high school. And I played in bands, and I'm from the South, the Deep South. And they still have great guitar players down there, and played in bands down there until I just said, God, it's getting kind of small down here. And I came to L.A. I thought to myself, now, L.A., it's warm, and New York's patterned pretty good, you know, the Nashville. But I really don't have the big coats for New York, so I went to L.A. And I just started trying to kind of do what, you know, the culture shock of coming from a small place to a big place. And I quickly found and talked to the other fellows and musicians and found out that what I wanted to do was to write and produce and do my own songs. But it took me, and a lot of guys, you know, in my 20s, I would play for anybody and everything. And kind of just through luck and what, just luck, plain luck, I got a few breaks, you know. Yeah, I just kept punching and punching and would do this or that, a lot of studio work. And then there came a point in time where I just went, you know, I just want to play to make myself happy right now.
Right.
And that's kind of where I, you know, the crossroads was for me was stay and just play the thing or just do your own thing, which is, you know, a lot of responsibility, but then very gratifying also, you know. But along the way, we've just keep doing it, and we've had plenty, like a few movies, but a few more than that. I even Google the movies sometimes, and a few of them pop up that I didn't even know about. But, you know how it is in the music business. Be very careful, you know.
Right.
But, you know, when the music business went to, you know, from big record companies to little, that's kind of what I just went, I think I'm going to do this project that I do, the band that I'm in, the Weasels, which is... as you heard, it's kind of it's that loud Les Paul Marshall sound.
Oh yeah,
which I really like, and I was just wondering if you like that kind of stuff, and since you're a producer and a keyboard player, so do you work with that kind of stuff a lot? Or?
You know, I do, man. I'm a huge classic rock fan, and
yeah.
You know, a lot of my guitar influence because I play a little guitar. Not as seasoned as I should be, but I play a little bit. And a lot of my inspirations come from Angus Young of AC/DC, Peter Frampton, Joe Perry of Aerosmith, and Ted Nugent, Steve Vai, Jimi Hendrix. You know, so a lot of these guys, man, I still listen to till this day, you know, and still try to practice my looks and chops, man. Because, you know, to me, that's just really the foundation of true guitar rock heroes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. Every one of those guys, I just look up to and wish that I, you know, was as accomplished as those guys. I've always been the kind of guy that while I listened to their stuff, I was more adapted at doing my own stuff. But I'm sure that just subconsciously all those influences, everyone that you said, Prince, I think that guy can just,
oh, yes.
He just plays so well.
Yes. You know? Just overall good musician, though. You know what I mean? Prince is really on another level.
Oh, he is.
You know what I mean? He just really composes on the guitar. I mean, a lot of guys are doing chops, man, but the stuff that he does, his runs, his dynamics is just really off the meters.
Oh, yeah. That guy is, yeah, he is just an entity upon himself. He is, but he, you know, he does everything. And I guess it's what you have to be a great producer, right? You have to be such a, although he is the top of the super musicians, you know?
Yeah.
But I was noticing him the other day on an old Saturday Night Live show, and Fury, that song he does.
Yeah.
Tears it up on the guitar, you know?
Yes.
But,
you know, one thing I picked up from Prince as a guitarist, man, is the rhythm side of guitar. You know what I mean? Really getting funky with the
absolutely.
Licks and things. You know, so I definitely copped a lot of his, you know, attacks and just the way he fingers things and just to chop it up for that rhythm, having that pocket, man. That's definitely all Prince when I play.
Yeah, you know, it's like I so enjoy rhythm guitar. So it's kind of put under the second guitar fiddle, but it's not. It's basically the foundation, and a good rhythm guitar player. I kind of try to pride myself on my rhythm guitar playing, but yeah, Prince, he brings it to a whole new level. In the way that he, you know, he does it all, but he plays rhythm, but he plays rhythm and on the beat, and he'll lag, and he'll push it, which, for us, I certainly admire.
Yeah, it's definitely a style of his own, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, now with your experience in touring and playing with other seasoned musicians, Terry, I mean, how have you, you know, added those elements and different attributes from other musicians into your own sound and really making it more of your own type of rhythm and lead solos and things?
Well, you know, I take everything I can. I like all kinds of music. You know, that's the thing that a lot of people, if you play this kind, you know, they play. They think, well, you know, that's what he, you know, but I just like all kinds of music. But I take everything I can and try to, at this point, push it in my direction, you know. I learned all the, you know, the sound check tricks and all the stuff, and I put it in place. And but, you know, when it comes to, like, the music or recording, it's just so... You know, we're doing one of our CDs right now, and we're kind of wrapping it up. But everything is so much about the rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
The rhythm, from the whole point of view of the song, from the producer's point of view, but the rhythms and the beat, you know, is just such, is well, I mean, you know that, but it's the heart of the thing, really. It's what I do. I just kind of try to learn from everyone. And then I've always been kind of... good at improvising, you know, on the guitar. You know, it's like, I guess anything, but as opposed to the other thing, that which would be, I don't know, real structured, although I appreciate that stuff, but it's more of an improvisational kind of a thing until I kind of record it, and then I kind of try to play the track afterwards, but leading up to it, I kind of just kind of shoot from the hip until I kind of feel a good pocket or something of the track that we're doing. If that makes any sense.
Oh, no, so it totally does, man. You know, yeah. I think a lot of times there's a lot of great musicians out there, but I think sometimes the musicians that I came across, anyways, the improv skills isn't as strong as their live playing ability of covers and things. You know, I think a lot of guys really stay in the box. And, you know, just to be able to jam with other musicians that you've never encountered before and be able to get on stage and play off one another is really where I
absolutely.
Consider the seasoned musicians. And, you know, like I say, finding that pocket and finding that center of the song is really where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did play with every type of, you know, because, you know, when I first got out here, you know, I'm going to make it, you know. So I'm trying everything, and what I mean is I'm trying every different band, anything that's got something going. So during that little journey, I went through from rock to funk to country to you name it, and I guess learned a little something about everything along the way, and I guess got to where I'm at from that. But no, I certainly like playing with better musicians than me. You know, that's where it's at. You know, some guy up there that will just take what you got and just shove it back at you, you know?
Yeah.
and yeah, it's very hard. It seems to me that a lot of people, especially out here where I'm at in Hollywood, that a lot of them, their musical, where they're coming from is, I want to be a star, you know?
Sure.
And that's cool, you know, but a lot of them make it and make it happen. But to do that, it seems like you have to, you know, get yourself a guitar and be a star. Whereas I'm coming from, and a lot of guys can't come from that, like I said, you know, we grew up, we got paid, and we did many, I've did so many hours on that stage. You know, I sometimes make joke that you could blow a bomb up there, and I wouldn't flinch because, you know, I just put the hours in. And then when you come out here and you're showcasing for a record company or something, I just feel like I do have a little extra, I may be confident because I've had a lot of time logged up there on that stage, you know?
Right. No, it takes a long time. You know, I'm not a believer of making overnight stars. Like for me, man, I'm only 35, going on 36, but I've been playing pretty much all my life, and I've been recording for about 22 years now. And, you know, I still feel like I'm still young, and, you know, I still remain that student of music just because there's so much to learn. And I really want to be glorified as a great musician, you know, than versus the star. You know what I mean? I want my music and
absolutely
my chops, you know, just that's where it's at for me, you know.
Yes, absolutely. It separates the, it's where the rubber meets the road. And I want to call people like me and you, like lifers, you know. It's like, you know, we really couldn't get out if we wanted to get out. You know, we kind of like doing this, and
yeah,
been doing it for quite a while, and I just wouldn't want to do anything else, I don't think.
Oh, totally not, man. You know, which reminds me, man, with your experience, and you've been out there a long time, you know, give me some history and pros and cons of analog recording versus DAW. I mean, have you converted over to the DAW system, or are you still on the analog side of recording now?
Well, no, I got to tell you, I was a big, you know, I was a guy that said 2-inch tape, you know?
Sure.
That's what we do, 2-inch tape, man. And of course, I love those set sound, but then all of a sudden we have Pro Tools and digital and well, what, you know, it's kind of, well, let's see what this is all about. But I found it to be punchier and just so much better. As long as I like to approach it from an analog, in other words, I don't want to go in there and let the machines do all the talking. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I love the punchy sounds. I love that digital. I even hear, and I'm sure you've heard the fellows, they record digitally, and then they run it to the tape, and then back it's digital to the Pro Tools.
Yes.
But I got to go with the digital. What about you?
You know, like I say, coming from an analog world, it's definitely made my job easier as a music producer. And it's about 10 times faster as a tracker, as a keyboardist.
Yes.
You know, now we have the MIDI involved in tracking, recording. You know, when I first started, man, there were no sequencers. Everything was real-time recording.
Right, you know, right, so right, right.
You know, when I make a mistake, I always have to go back and re-record it. But now, it's working like almost like a Word document. You know, it's just cut and pasting.
It certainly is. And some of those guys, they can certainly do magic, can't they?
Oh yeah.
I've done some commercials and some jingles and stuff, and what I do when I do that kind of thing, I go in there and the producer, whoever it might be, will just say, play this.
Sure.
And I'll play that, and I'll go play this, and I'll leave, you know, and they'll take all those things and cut them and splice them and put them and make them into something that wasn't even what I even knew what we were doing.
Yes.
But they work their magic with that stuff. I guess there's no going back now, you know?
Right. You know, but with DAWs in existence, man, there's still a lot of good, you know, old school Mike Pries and things out there. Do you have any of your choice that you use on your album?
All I know about getting my guitar sound is, you know, I know that there's live and there's recording, right? We all know that we have to tell, you know, you got to learn that when you're a young musician, you come out and it's like, well, yeah, you've been playing live, but now if you record, now we got to make sure we get a sound. What works in the live maybe doesn't work in the studio.
Definitely.
You know, I've done that, you know, the recording, you know, the two guitars for rhythm. It's kind of lower volume, not for the story, then cranked all the way up for the lead. But I got to tell you, you know, and I got to tell you, I usually use the Marshall, and I run it like I do live, if, you know, I can, if, you know, because, you know, I do want to make different textures, you know what I mean, clean sometimes for certain things, but to get that basic my sound, Terry Clinton sound, is a 57 right up against that speaker in a big room, and I'm in the control room, and I play like I do live, which I don't really use many effects live, because I can kind of get them with the guitar and the amp with the gig, because I run the gain wide open, and then I work the volume, the dynamics on that guitar with my volume control.
Sure.
On the guitar.
Wow.
So you bring it down, and you get a clean sound, and at any time, you know, you have multiple sustain if you want to, if you just want to crank that thing up. And once again, to the Prince and the Hendrix, I really like that psychedelia stuff where you're with the feedback and stuff. So, but when I record, I've noticed lately what I've been doing that I've really been liking is it's going in the studio, you know, and playing like I do live. In other words, we'll hook it up, we'll run it wide open. They have to gate it, you know, because that it's so, you know, the hits.
Sure.
But not enough to lose any of the sound or anything. But then I run it, and I run the rhythm, and I do the rhythms and lead like I do live, which is I'll turn it down, and it still maintains the sound, which I used to have a lot of trouble doing that. When you turn it down, you kind of get muddy and stuff. But the engineers that I've been working with lately, they make it happen. But that's what I know about getting my sound.
Nice.
On the guitar, you know?
No, I mean, there's so many things out there now. I mean, now they're into the virtual world with, like, Native Instruments guitar rig, and Waves is coming out with their GTR plugins. Have you had a chance to experiment with those yet, or are you still using your external pedals?
Well, I don't use any pedals.
Strictly
the only
amp.
Effects are, yeah, straight to the amp. There's effects on the tracks, you know, from you know, trying to get the best studio sound you can. But live, I don't use any pedals because, you know, it kind of, you know, anything between that cord and the amp, you know, 18 foot, after that, you lose a little bit of your signal, which is probably no big deal. It's just one of those things that kind of make me go, ooh, I don't want to lose my signal.
Sure.
So I can get distortion because, like I said, I'm running that amp wide open. But then I can bring it down and I can play it clean. I can bring the volume down. You know, you can get a wah-wah pedal by hitting your tone control. I have a Les Paul, so you hit that up and down, you know, and you can make it go walk, because that's basically right, the treble and the bass or the wah-wah. And you can, and when you turn it up at those high light levels, you get a little bit of compression, you know. So I'm kind of having effects, but it's only through the amp kind of effects. Someone told me that years ago when I was a kid, one of those guitar players, he goes, this is the way you run it, man.
Right.
The Marshalls.
Yeah.
Because you run it wide open, and then you turn it down, and I stuck with that. Now, that fella, he's down on the coast right now in Mississippi playing those riverboats, and a very good guitar player. And he uses a lot of effects now, but he does that, but plays in those lounge bands that are so popular in those casinos. And, you know, my thing is totally different. But, yeah, the guy who taught me the no pedal thing uses a lot of pedals now, so
Right. Now, for compositions, Terry, you know, you've written music for soundtracks, and you're also doing CDs and performing. I'm sure you got a couple of formulas that you're using when putting things together, or you just kind of really base it on the project that you're working on?
Well, I actually do the opposite of that, because I have a lot of opportunities to try to do that, you know, here's what we want, and you give it to us. And I might get around to that, but I'm so busy doing my own thing. In other words, and I used to kind of do that. But I got to tell you, if we're asking about, you know, if anybody's come out, it's like you really have to, out in this game that I'm playing, you kind of got to go for what you feel. You got to make yourself happy, because out in L.A. there's a 20 million bands, And I did, like I said, when I first got out, I would follow every little anything, and if anybody wanted this kind of thing. But lately, I've just been doing my thing. And one of the songs that you're going to play tonight we just had good luck. We just got a new a soundtrack for a new movie called The Last Anniversary. It'll be coming out in spring.
Oh, congratulations.
So,
man.
Yeah, it's once again, very blessed and thankful. But got that happening. But the way that was it was like the producer of that movie, liked the song, heard the song, liked the song, thought he could use it for his movie, which is kind of what I've always done for those movies. You know, I never wrote for them. Although lately I've been having those opportunities to do that. And like I said, I just haven't got to, I'm going to do it, maybe, but I'm just so busy doing my thing. But there's certainly opportunities out there for people that want to go get it, you know.
Right.
That they do tell you. Like, a lot of my friends do that, and I do a lot of studio work for them. They do catalogs for TV and movies, you know, that when like sound companies, they need a certain track, and they just buy the catalog from my friends. And it's certainly a money-making business, but I haven't done that. I haven't really done that. It's been kind of a solo artist that was blessed enough that some movie guys went, hey, let's put that in my movie. Okay.
Sure.
I'm down for that, man.
Now, Terry, you're a musician who really sits on both sides of the fence, from performing live and being a session player and a producer in the studio. Where do you really find that zone for your creativity, inspiration? Is it the stage or is it in the studio?
It's absolutely the stage, but it's absolutely the studio too, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like, boy, you really need them. To get a great studio performance, it's great to have, you know, to keep your chops up and your stage performance up. Because there's nothing like it. You know, it's kind of like the reason we do it, you know,
yeah.
Is to get up there and let that guitar sing. And then you're in the studios, you have to sit there and, you know, make sure you sing in time. And, you know, but I just like to let it rip. I tell always when we're rehearsing for the shows, I always tell the fellas, you know, like, let's really work it in the studio here, the rehearsal studio. But when we get on stage, let's let it fly.
Right.
You know, and I really enjoy that part of it.
It's cool, man. You know, one thing I love about the stage is the improv, you know, that goes on between the band members. You know, as the song starts out on, you know, the basic tune, but right in the middle of the song, man, we'll just take it to the left and everybody just goes with it.
Absolutely. I know. I love that. I got to tell you, it's a funny thing, and I think a lot of musicians would probably agree with me, but that's when you kind of are the most at peace with the world. It's when you're up there with the marshals, you can't hear nothing. It's screaming loud, but you're in that moment, and nothing else matters, and everything is just great. That's the payoff, I think, for all the hard work, because it is a lot of hard work, you know. I always tell my dad that, you know, well, yeah, Dad, it's really hard work, you know.
So, Terry, what's on the musical agenda for 2011?
Well, we're finishing up the CD, and then we're going to probably go on tour and try to, because, you know, we're like independent, you know. We're not, of course, not a lot of people are big record labels these days, but we're just trying to get it, everything, our name out, our music out, let someone hear it that can maybe... you know, think they like it and maybe could use it, or maybe do something with it, go with it, run with it, or someone. But we're just trying to make our own opportunities.
Definitely. Well, Terry, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man. I would love to have you back, talk about your new endeavors, your new CDs, and some of the performances. Oh, man, it's been great, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Oh, man, we'll get together, man, and chop it up real soon, man. Thank you again.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much, bud. Have a good rest of the show, okay?
You too. Thank you, Terry.
All right, buddy.
Bye. And a big shout out to Terry Quinn for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Another great musician, man, a seasoned legend. Been in the game in a long time, and, you know, he's done a lot of recordings that have appeared in motion picture soundtracks. You know, what's cool about Terry is, you know, his music's predominantly rock driven, but if you listen closely, man, there's a lot of other influences that are in his music. You know, we were talking earlier about how much of a Prince fan he was, and you know, just to have those elements and to be able to bring those in your composition just keeps you moving, keeps you innovative, and definitely keeps you inspired to keep writing. And for more information on Terry Quinn, you need to hit his MySpace up at myspace.com/TheWeezels. www.myspace.com/TheWeezels. And Weezels is spelled W-E-A-Z-E-L-S. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up at www.spudtootight.com. www.spudtootight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast, so if you have a Mac or a PC, an iPhone or an iPod, open up the iTunes player, go to the iTunes store, type in the producer's corner, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And for the remainder of the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show, and it's composed by Terry Quinn, and the title of the track is called Shake It Down Cold. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
No, you never take a drunk chick to a second location. I'm gonna shake it down cold. I'm gonna shake it down cold. I gotta shake it down cold. I gotta shake it down. Now the flashpoint of flesh and blood opens up a whole new box of sins, and that's when I made up my mind never to take another beating again. Now they say that money and women are the only real truth. Sometimes I need a little salvation, and sometimes I need some proof. Shake it down cold. I gotta shake it down cold. Baby, shake it down cold. You gotta shake it down cold. You gotta shake it down. Sometimes I just wanna close my eyes and lock myself in a dark room. Shake it down cold. You gotta shake it down cold. You gotta shake it down cold. You gotta shake it down cold.